A new documentary explores the royal personalities and ordinary people who built the Egyptian empire.
Over 1,000 years after the pyramids were built, the greatest chapter in Egypt's history was just beginning. The new kingdom, an explosion of creativity, wealth, and power. It would be the envy of civilizations to come.
Egypt's Golden Empire is a three-part series that begins tonight on public television. Producer Kira Burns says the first episode takes place 3,500 years ago, when Egypt was a small city-state surrounded by enemies.
The pyramids were actually now on ground that was ruled by foreigners.
This was northern Egypt.
This is northern Egypt, and that was ruled by the Hyksos. And that was the greatest insult you could, you know, give to an Egyptian.
And in the south,
you had the Nubians, basically with Sudan today, it's Nubia. They had moved northward.
And those in the north were trying to get the Nubians in the south to pinch Egypt in the middle.
Exactly, that's right. But it didn't happen. Two brothers, Ahmos and Camos, together with their father, raised up against both sides and beat them back.
20-year-old Camos set off leading his troops north, into Hyksos territory. Camos and his army soon came across a fortified Hyksos town. Camos was now face to face with his foe.
When the next day dawned, I swooped down on him like a falcon. By breakfast time, I had already defeated him.
Camos and his younger brother Amos defeated their enemies, and Amos became pharaoh. When he died, Thutmose III was supposed to be the new king, but his family had other plans.
His aunt Hatshepsut basically stole the throne from him. He was 4 years old. And she declared herself pharaoh. She donned a beard that the pharaohs would wear, and she dressed in male garb, and she ruled as a man, as a pharaoh.
So she named herself not queen, but king.
King Hatshepsut, yeah. And she ruled for 23 years, which is really the first time in recorded history that for a substantial period of time, a woman ruled. And she was hugely, hugely successful in her reign. But of course, when Thutmose came to the throne, he was a little bit miffed.
Thutmose had her obelisks bricked up and ordered that Hatshepsut's name and image be carefully removed from every corner of Egypt. All evidence of Hatshepsut's reign was destroyed. With her name erased throughout Egypt and excluded from all the lists of kings, it was as if Hatshepsut had never existed.
Nearly 180 years after Hatshepsut was dethroned, Ramses the Great became pharaoh and ruled for 67 years. But his enemies challenged him early in his reign.
One of these key enemies was the Prince of Kadesh. And he had rounded up a whole host of other princes, and they were going to come in and fight this young new king. So they thought, get him while he's green, and we'll move into Egypt. Ramses, however, was a very feisty character, and he knew this was where he had to prove his mettle. And he got a fantastic army together, and he went northwards, and he went in to basically bash these princes. But something happened.
There were two Bedouin in the desert who were brought in by Ramses' soldiers and interrogated. And Ramses or whoever said, "Where's the king of the Hittites?" And they said, "Oh, he's way off there. Don't worry about him. He's far away."
What Ramses didn't realize was that his informants were Hittite spies sent to mislead him.
They released them and sent them off and said, "Ah, great. Well, let's set up camp and relax. We've got plenty of time before the battle begins."
And they're all relaxing. And the next thing you know, bang, the other army's practically on top of them.
In panic, Pharaoh sent word back for reinforcements. Suddenly, the Hittites attacked. The Egyptian army stood on the brink of defeat.
He had sent for reinforcements, and they arrived in the nick of time. And they did push back the princes. But at the end of the day, it was more of a draw than it was a win for Ramesses.
That's not how I got written up.
That's certainly not how it got written up. And that's what's really fantastic about Ramesses. Here he is. He's practically lost the battle. He comes back to Egypt and starts pounding his chest. Yeah, guys, I won. Put it everywhere. So he sent out armies of men with chisels, and they carved everywhere that Ramesses won this battle. And you see all the little princes, tiny, and then huge big pictures of Ramesses bashing their heads in. So, I mean, fantastic propagandist.
And, of course, he had a big building project. Seems like every pharaoh had to have a big building project.
For Ramesses, it was always bigger is better, and the faster the better. Because the faster you build all these temples, the more I can have, and the more I look powerful. So today, if as a tourist you go there, you think, God, he must have been really powerful and a great guy and a great warrior, because everywhere I go, I see him bashing, you know, foreigners. But, of course, we know the other side of the story.
He had an entire city of artisans building temples.
That's right. He had a city called Dar al-Madinah. And Dar al-Madinah was made up of hundreds of tomb builders. And this was really an intriguing part of the film for me, because suddenly ancient Egypt came to life. Today you can go there and you can still see the ruins of this village, and it's 3,500 years old. And what these people left behind were hundreds of pieces of broken shards of pottery, sort of like post-it notes. And they would have their little notes, you know, like, gotta bring the donkey out, recipes, love notes.
Gossip.
Gossip, oh, gossip. Yeah, one woman writing about her son going off, getting drunk and doing unspeakable things to the girl next door. Basically, what you're seeing are the stories of the people who built the tombs, who built the temples. And for us, I think that was the important thing in this series, bringing ancient Egypt to life.
Kira Byrne is producer of the documentary Egypt's Golden Empire. The three-part series begins tonight on public television.